It all started with the crickets. My mother sweeps them off the porch, but to no avail. They seem to multiply exponentially. "They're taking over," she says melodramatically. And she sprays lemon-scented Raid in every nook and crevice, until the fragrance of artificial citrus descends upon her Texas bungalow and becomes part of our lives, like the unsightly boxes in her room she hasn't managed to unpack in decades. April and May bring more rain, which in turn brings more crickets. By June, the porch is covered in shadowy forms climbing up the wooden posts, reaching the horizontal rail, just to fall off the precipice and pool under the porch. Come July, my mother is convinced that a rogue crowd of crickets will work their way up the brick walls and discover small pockmarks and cracks along the exterior. Eventually, they will invade the house, she says. I explain that last year there were the frogs, and the year before there were the crane flies, and before that, I can't remember, but I make something up, there were the potato bugs. Next year it'll be something else. Just relax, I say. But she won't have any of it. I just can't stand those crickets, she says, getting more irate with every swipe of the broom. Let me go for my run. I'll think of something when I get back, I say, feeling myself getting impatient. Over the past months, I have become a master in avoiding fights with her. Yet the better I've become, the more she insists on the drama. The world always revolves around her. She sees no point of view other than her own. No explanations occur to her but the ones that make sense to her and her alone. I step off the porch and stretch my calves, yet my mother is determined to discuss the crickets. I hate the sound they make, she says, and follows me into the street. What sound? I ask. If I wait any longer, it'll be too hot for a run. It's like an old hardwood floor when the flooring nails rub together and they squeak, she says, and holds her hand behind her ear as if she is attempting to direct sound waves into it. You don't understand, Dahlia. She pauses as if something important just occurred to her. They crunch when you step on them. At least no one can come in undetected, she adds, as if her logic has a special shape that fits a special key, which in turn fits a special lock. I'll call an exterminator, I say, and jog off before she can say anything else. I regret having come back to Aurora. Months ago, I stood in front of her door, and I realized the house hadn't changed at all. The same crooked solar lights from 15 years ago were stuck in the cracked soil like elfin streetlights. The same drab curtains covered the windows. The paint was still chipped. The door chime hadn't been fixed. I knocked, and my mother opened the door, and as we embraced, I felt a hesitation, but I was used to that. She still looked impeccable, wore a dress, had done her makeup, didn't have a gray hair to be seen. Yet she seemed grim and dark, and rarely was she without a cigarette between her manicured nails. And now she obsessed about crickets. Leaving my mother's subdivision behind, I make my way down a rural road toward the woods. It's July, and the sun that was orange an hour ago is about to turn into a yellow inferno. Another hour, and everything will cook. About 2 miles into the run, I realize I haven't stretched nearly enough. I feel a slight stinging behind my left knee, an old injury that has been flaring up lately. When I reach the top of the hill leading into the woods, I stop. Hands on my hips, I attempt to catch my breath. The heat bites into me, and the sun eats my skin and eyes. I ignore the pesky insects swarming around me, barely wipe away the salty beads trickling down my neck. I scan an unfamiliar tree line to my right. Haven't I paid close enough attention? Or have the columns of rain that have swept North Texas for the past few months somehow changed the vegetation? And I long for shade to stretch my leg.